Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It isn't that often that an attorney general takes on the Supreme Court, but Eric Holder is in an effort, he says, to end voting rights discrimination.
Essentially going around limits imposed by the Supreme Court's voting rights decision. He's asking a federal court to put the state of Texas under Justice Department authority to deal with pervasive voting rights violations.
We believe that the state of Texas should be required to go
through
the process whenever it changes voting laws and practices.
Kids see their heroes out there pushing voters every single day. Beyonce has a new big deal with Pepsi. Jack just came out with his own voting. These things say to kids, hey, if I want to get on that, this is what they're doing. I can tell you, these stars
in the world. Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. with a happy Polka Land show. Sundays from 1
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. The number is 347-945-5229, and you're listening to us on WSOM again. And I hope you are going to give me a call today. For the first hour, it looks like I'm going to be on my own. I thought I had the credit union scheduled, and I'm not quite sure if, because next week we have another Thursday, and I'm not quite sure if they're looking at the last Thursday or the fourth Thursday. But in spite of, and no matter what's going on, we are here and you are there, and hopefully you'll give me a call and see what's going on with me and tell me that I'm out of my mind. I have to say this. I am so very, very humbled and so very, very grateful to hear as I go out into different places that you got, there are people that are listening. I thank you so much for that, and it is a blessing to hear that you guys are listening to the show and that you appreciate what we do. I am going to have someone on from the Columbiana County Fair on next week. I will be giving you a call sometime today when I get off the air. I want to also tell you today, the Valley Marketplace, which is located at 6121 South Avenue in Boardman, right on South Avenue in the corner of South Avenue and Matthews in the Georgetown Shopping Plaza, where the old pack tents used to be. There's a place called the Valley Marketplace, and in there they have some remarkable, remarkable foods. And so we want you to go and support them, show them, tell them that you heard on Tracy and Friends. It's a marketplace that has Danishes, it has a lot of Amish people that have been cooking Amish breads and butter. They have a deli market, they have a cheese market, they have donuts, they have the best caramel swirl, pecan, whatever that's called. I'm going to try not to stop by there and get that one again. So stop by there. They're open today from 9 until 6. So it's located, again, at 6121 South Avenue. Also, if you need to get your pet cleaned, y'all need to get your doggies cleaned. And it doesn't cost. It's not as exorbitant, and it's not as much of a luxury as you would think. But if you got a pet, get the pet clean and go over to Pet Spa Luxury Dog and Cat Salon, located over on Western Reserve. They're located at 1122 Western Reserve Road, right, I'd say about 100 feet past, it might be 100 yards, maybe 100 yards past Glenwood going west. And it's a little tiny house over to the right-hand side across from Sparkle, and they take care of pets, dogs and cats. Not everyone will take care of your cat. You can call and make an appointment at 330-758-4444. And if you want to lodge your dog, go to Pet Lodge USA of Boardman. They're located on Market Street at 8063 Market Street. I have to say my child, which is my puppy, she when she goes in there, she leads me. She doesn't, she's not like she's in the vets, like I'm forcing her to do something that she doesn't want to do. She's really in there like, hey, I'm gone. See you later. I've got friends here. So I'll check you when you come back. Shut the door when you leave. See you later. So I have to say it, and the reason why I'm doing this, you have to understand, good people need to tell good people about good products. And we need to support people locally and let you know that there are services out here that will accommodate you, that will do what's necessary and give you a good good quality work for your pets. And I don't know about you, but my pet is like my people. It's like my child. So I want my dog to be comfortable and be happy where she is when she's not with me. And they do that. My dog is happy to be there. And then also, Dolph Antiques and All, located on the corner of Western Reserve and South Avenue, at 9, and their address is 9060 South Avenue. They have antiques. They have gently used furniture. They have, for those of us who have been Pinteresting, you will enjoy that, because they have some stuff out there that is really, you know, that you can do some real great things with if you're trying to change your home and make it look a certain way on a budget. So go out there to Barbie Dull over at Dull's Antiques and All. Okay, let's see what's in the news today. You know, they got me here by myself, and I don't know why they do that, because they know I lose my mind along the way, and it is open mic until someone comes in here and changes the topic. A train derailed in Spain. Why? I didn't know that. I haven't watched the news all morning today. And I'm trying to, I don't have anybody to woo-saw with, and I don't want to start the show off on a crescendo so that I'm going nuts. But I might as well start, since I might want to rant and rave before the day is over anyhow. Got a couple things. The Attorney General Eric Holder has announced today that he is opening a new front on the battle of voting rights in response of the Supreme Court ruling that dealt with a major setback to voter protections. In a speech to the Urban League in Philadelphia, the Attorney General said that the Justice Department is asking for a federal court in San Antonio to require that the state of Texas obtain approval in advance before putting their voting changes in place. Well, this happened on July 25th, which is after the Supreme Court ruling. And this required pre-approval. I'm not quite sure how they're trying to – I mean, maybe they ought to come to Ohio. Ohio has a very, very balanced, fair way of getting the electoral process done. I labeled the show today talking about community, and I said it's all about community and quality of life. America, you want to make sure, because people are not always honest and above board, you want to make sure that you have measures and practices in place to secure the sanctity and integrity of the vote. And you have to not politicize it. And I jumped on the chairman of the Democrat Party. I jumped on him because I have a problem with them politicizing the process when they know, and when I say they know, they have a good understanding and that they are well aware that there was no tainting and or disenfranchisement of the voting process locally here in the state of Ohio. They knew that. The election process in the state of Ohio, everything is balanced by a party. So if you have one Republican, you have one Democrat, no matter what. If you hire a Republican, you got to hire a Democrat. If you fire a Republican and you're not going to hire another one, you got to fire a Democrat. You got to lay one off. If the president of the board or the board of elections, the chairman of the board of elections is a Republican, you've got to have an executive director that is a Democrat. If that Democrat decides that they're going to leave and they don't want to stay there and you're going to put the Republican as the executive director, then you know that you're going to have a Democrat that's going to be the chairman of the board of elections. Everything is equal, 2-2, not 3-2, not 4-5, it's 2-2. Everything is balanced. If you have more than two, if you have 4-4, everything is balanced, sitting at that table of authority inside of the voting process. Doesn't go anywhere else. If there is a tie, and in that process, you're not supposed to be political. You're supposed to do what's right. In that process, if they have a tie vote, It goes down to your Secretary of State. That Secretary of State is voted on by the people to do the right thing. And if you use common sense, and sometimes common sense is not so common, then you have to, he makes a ruling on which side he's going to lean. Well, they say, well, if it's Democrat, it leans Democrat. If it's Republican, it leans Republican. But it doesn't always work that day. Sometimes you just have to have uniformity. Sometimes you just have to have a way of getting things done. And the reason why I'm going here is because when I look at Eric Holder and him deciding that he is going to take a federal approach on what has already been deemed unconstitutional, not based upon that which the law states, but based upon his own personal ideals. That is where the problem comes in. You don't put people in position for them to do that which they think. They're supposed to do that which is there and do the right thing. If the Supreme Court, even if you disagree with it, I disagree with abortions. I disagree with it. But I'm not going to go and burn down people and demonize people because they go, because it is now legal. You know, we need to just step back for a minute and say, you know what, things are going to have to go a different way. Because this right here, you don't do what you think. You do what the law says. You do what is right. Just because you don't like what happened with the Zimmerman trial does not mean that you're supposed to go out and hunt him down as vigilante justice and say it's okay. It's not. And we are going to have to start opening up our eyes because it's going to come bite us in the tuchus. Since I found out from Howard Stern last night on America's Got Talent, tuchus is a good word. They're going to bite us in the tuchus if we don't wake up and start smelling the coffee. We need to understand that. Just because, I mean, you think that because things are good right now, that they can always be. But they're not. That's my first rant. My second rant, I've got to go to Facebook. I am a Facebook user. I use it to promote my show. Everything on the internet is not right. And we said that on yesterday. Just because it's written doesn't make it fact, doesn't make it right, doesn't make it real. If I find something on my Facebook page and I know that it's not right and I research it before I pass it because it was so juicy that I wanted to pass, but I've learned that before I pass it, I've got to research it. Don't get mad at me because I stop it. Because it ain't right. And I got an issue with that. So we only can do what we can do, but don't get mad at me because I start taking stuff down off my Facebook page when I find out it ain't right. And so people need to understand that everything that's out there, you need to research it. I've learned my lesson. People need to learn theirs. Just because they wrote it down doesn't make it fact. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And when I come back, we'll pick up some phone calls and see what else is on everybody's mind until we have some guests start coming in.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of. It's time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am just, you know, I thought the credit union was coming in, so since they're not here, I might as well get my comments out in the open. Community means common unity. And what's happening is we are taking the commonality and the unity out of all of our lifestyles. We don't even have a good unity in our family structure, which is not a good thing. And we're going to have to start being more mindful and cognizant of what's going on around us and realizing that greed and money, they are not the paramount forces that we should be focusing after, so that our young people can see a sense of oneness and a sense of family and a sense of worth. If you don't work, if you don't have a sense of working, doing something, you really don't have a good sense of a good quality of life. I'll say it that way. Because if you're not doing something and giving something away, you were designed to actually be working and to be giving and to be doing. And what's happening is we are turning into this crazy, lackadaisical, lazy society, and we're breeding it. And we're sitting back on our laurels, not doing anything, wondering why we can't get anything done. And because we can't get any, and the reason why we can't get anything done is because we're not doing anything. You hear Styx talk about the wolfifying of men. You know, they can't play cowboys and Indians, but we're not necessarily promoting and applauding hard work in anything. And so we are causing a society who is not working when it comes to, I was talking about voting in the first segment, and when I look at the vote and I look at what's going on there, people are trying to make it to where when you go vote, we do everything but push the button. And then when you push the button, you think that you're pushing the button because you're pushing the button that you choose, but actually I have brainwashed you into pushing the button that I want you to choose. And we're going to have to really start taking a good bird's eye view of what we are allowing our future to look like, because right now it's not looking like that which we live. And I know when I talk to our parents, and today we have Dandridge, Burgundy Manor, they're going to be coming in at 2 o'clock. But I know that our parents, they don't have the same lifestyle that we have. And instead of us making it better and building on that which they have built, we destroy that which they have built, and we are creating a new form of our own, which is not always good. It's even like with wealth. It's very, very hard to take wealth and start over again with each generation. And that's what we do. And then we wonder why we're not growing. If you want to see successful, if you want to see wealth, if you want to see you'll find companies like Smucker's Jelly. You know, you've got generations, 4 and 5 generations who've been churning out jelly. But for some reason, we are not doing that. We're not cultivating our young people into going into the next generation and to make it better. And so when I talk about community and when I talk about unity and when I talk about, us becoming better, it's not for us, but it's for our future. And right now, I wouldn't want to – we were talking about children, and I think I brought this up on yesterday. I wouldn't want to bring up a child in this day and age because – there's no way. Children have too many we're not training them. We're not teaching them. They don't have any respect for themselves, let alone anyone else. And the world is actually calling it okay. And I'm not quite sure why we're not standing up and calling and saying this and calling foul. You would think at some time we would say foul, we're not going to do it like this anymore. We're better than this, and we're going to make it better. But somewhere along the line, we're just not doing that. And we're going to have to take on another stand. And so now I might as well get the Wiener. Right now, we know that Anthony Wiener, you know, what a name. Anthony Wiener is running for mayor of New York. And we know that he resigned from Congress because they found him sending naked photos to somebody. I want to say it was either on Facebook or if it was text message. I think it was Facebook. And it was just frontal chest photos. Now it tells me that he has been sexting since he got out. Well, my question, and they call him a serial sexter. My question is, what in the world are we thinking by him still being okay to be running for office, and why are we not appalled? Outside of good, great talk radio, we ought to be appalled by what we see and what's going on with this. I mean, are we really paying attention? How do you put somebody in the mayor's office who has the gumption enough to take a picture of his genitals and put it onto a website and say, well, you know, it's okay. I know it's America and people can do what they do, but do you really want people in leadership? And if his wife wants to stand by him, fine. Not a problem. But do you really want that to be the face of your city? And I know New York can be a little crazy, but that's not a little crazy. That's just out of their minds. Are we that far gone that we are not paying attention to what's going on, and we are calling these things and we're saying, oh, well, you know, it's okay, that's what he does, and his administrative abilities will be different than his, you know, personal weaknesses of wanting to take pictures and be an exhibitionist on the World Wide Web. And we know that it's not illegal for him to do this. The question is that what you want? Is that truly what you want as a leader? And what does that say to your young people? Come on. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm in the chair alone, and so you guys, please call in. I know I talk a lot, but you'd be surprised how much I don't talk. So please call in and say something. But I'm just saying, do we really understand that? Are we really, really comprehending this wiener thing and the amoral projection that we are promoting when we support people that are like this? That doesn't make sense. Even if you're like that, you're not supposed to go and put it on the World Wide Web. That's just ludicrous. Come on now. Who does that? And why are we promoting it and telling it? I mean, are we saying that it's okay? I mean, seriously. Are we truly just saying it's okay, and we're raising up our young people to say, you know, if you want to take a picture of your winky, take it and put it on Facebook, it's okay? I mean, at one time we used to be appalled at what we saw in Hustler and what we saw in Penthouse Magazine and Playboy Magazine. Now what we have is on steroids. And speaking of steroids, I will get to the baseball thing eventually, but speaking of steroids, I don't understand how we don't call foul. The administration, Detroit, cities going bankrupt. They knew that Detroit was volatile when they were running for office. That wasn't old news. Detroit's been broke for a minute. It's almost like some, even in other places, you can't have a populace of almost 2 million people drop down to 700,000 and still think that you're going to get the same monies coming in from the land that is vacant that people have abandoned and think it's going to be okay, and you're going to sustain something when you don't have a product and keep on giving money away. It just doesn't work. Are we listening? It just doesn't make sense. You know, I'm a broke black girl. I'm always trying to make a dollar, but you can't make a dollar from nothing. You've got to go out and find a product. People just don't throw money up in the air and hope that you catch it. And we have allowed our unions, and I'm not an anti-union person per se, but unions are billion-dollar businesses. And we have allowed them to hijack our governments and our municipalities in the name of supposed to be collectively bargaining for the people, when in actuality they've been raping people of one resource and giving it to another resource and making sure they get theirs. And that's why we're seeing the manifestation of Detroit going bankrupt. There's no more people to pay. They left. They moved. There were no more jobs. And we don't understand that we are regulating businesses out of business to where they can't compete. Can anybody say Affordable Health Care Act? And we think that we're going to get this for nothing, but you don't understand. We're going to have to pay for this. And you can't pay for it if 50% of America is unemployed. And when I say 50% of America is unemployed, it doesn't mean that they're not going to work. But what it means is they're not making a quality, pervasive wage to where they can make a living. And if a man cannot make a living, he's going to have a hard time going to work. That goes back to my first comment about work is important. I had a conversation with a young lady on yesterday, and I was telling her even if she's unemployed, she still should be working. And that is a trait that we need to learn. Just because you don't get paid does not mean you should not be working. You can go volunteer places. You can go do things even if you're not getting paid until you get paid. We need volunteer services in many places. You can go intern for free. But we have to teach that. And it has to become a mindset, and it has to become a paradigm where people will go out and say, you know what, since I'm not working right now, since I'm laid off, I'll take me and my teenage kids, and we will go down to Habitat for Humanity. We'll go down to the Y. We'll go find us a place to volunteer. And you'll be surprised the skills that you will learn by volunteering. You will find you will acquire tons and tons of skills that you did not have just by going and working for free. It's almost called like earned college credit. But it's something that we're going to have to learn, we're going to have to understand, and we're going to have to put back inside of our communities and inside of our homes. Because right now, everybody's staying at home watching the tube. And I don't know how we could be so broke, but everybody's got DirecTV and cable. Just baffles me. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Some residents in Youngstown fear oil and gas drilling will soon take over their neighborhood. Aqua Infrastructure, a water utility company, wants to clarify a warranty deed from the 1930s. The deed says no drilling is allowed on the land in and around McKelvey Lake, but that's the issue Aqua Infrastructure wants the Mahoning County Common Pleas Court to examine. Youngstown could be teaming up with the Boardman Township to create a joint economic development district. It would be for the Racino under construction in Youngstown, and it's just in the discussion phase now. Nothing is set in stone. The Mahoning Valley's unemployment rate went up last month, reaching 8.2%. On a brighter note, a new jobs report shows the civilian labor force is growing compared to last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com, estate planning made simple.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns, includes short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Harmonies, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
iHeartRadio plays your favorite station and over 1,500 more live local stations through your mobile device. So when you leave town, you can still hear the sounds and programming you love. And discover more, like music, sports, news. There's lots there, and iHeartRadio is always free. Just download the app for Android, iPhone, iPad, Windows Phone, and more. Find out what over 20 million registered users already know at iHeartRadio.com.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. And I want you to remember that if you need to get your dog or your cat, if you need a bath, give it. I mean, I know we like to do them in the kitchen sink, but, you know, cats don't necessarily like water, and dogs are sometimes too big to get in the sink. And I know we take them outside, but sometimes you just need to groom them a little bit, you know. Especially if you have house dogs, or, you know, I have problems with people that keep their dogs outside and on a chain. I don't understand that. You know, locking them up in a basement, keeping them outside just doesn't make sense to me. So if you guys want to call and explain that to me, I'd appreciate it. But for those of us who have house pets, and please, you know, take the dog, get them groomed, get the nails done. And I found out on yesterday, yes, they will make your dog. The flavor of the month this month is coconut over at Pet Spa and Salon. But if, you know, get your dog smelling like fruit, go over to Pet Spa Luxury Dog and Cat Salon, and it's located on Western Reserve, 1122 Western Reserve Road. The number is 330-758-4444. Let's see what else I'm going to talk about today. Because if anybody can call me and tell me about the baseball issue, I have not figured that one out yet. There was somebody had something to do with steroids and drugs, and I'm not quite sure how that worked. So if somebody wants to help me out with my and clarify, tell me, give me a cliff note of what happened with that, I would certainly appreciate it, because I don't know. And I want to know. I don't know. I told you guys. People think I know everything. I don't know everything. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know. You know, I've just learned to fake it till you make it, but I don't know. So if you know of anything, just give me a call and let me know. Let's see. I'm going to start singing in a minute. that'll be funny. No, I won't do that. Now people are just going to text message me. They said that the Patriots won't pay Hernandez bonuses. Hernandez is the guy who is let me make sure I got this right. Hernandez is the guy who's up on murder charges, and I guess he wanted the New England Patriots to pay for his legal bills. And I don't know why he thought that they would pay for his bills, because I'm sorry, that doesn't work that way. So why would you? I mean, it's like Jeff going out and me paying Jeff's bills. I'm not paying Jeff's bills. Jeff got too many bills. Hey, let's see. 409, your mic is on.
I'm just listening.
No, you can't listen. And I'm all by myself today, so I either have to fight with you or you have to talk.
I don't have anything to say right now, Tracy, but I'll let you know if I do.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't have anything to say? I don't have anything to say either. That's why you have to call in.
I called him the other day, and one of your guests said I was a liar. So, you know, since then, I'll just sit back and listen.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
That was the day I called up, and I shared my experiences about being picked on by black men or young black boys, whatever it was, all through my life. And they basically, your guest said, I don't believe you. You know, where did you grow up? What's the situation? He was trying to basically say that I was lying about what I had experienced in my life. So,
you know what? Since you mentioned it, let me say this: people don't realize that discrimination and prejudices have gone both ways. You know, you realize that, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Because they're sincerely, because they don't do that, and they may or may not have seen it, and I think we talked about it during the break, and I told them I had watched young white kids get bullied just for the sake of being white, and
right.
No one say anything. I've seen that.
Well, my whole thing was it was more about context than anything else. You know, that day I think it was Alabama was saying that. And it kind of goes along with what Obama was saying, that, you know, these women that clutch their purses, you know, they've been programmed to think this way, or as I was growing up, if young black men were walking down the street, I would cross the street. And I was trying to just say that day, I wasn't programmed by TV or history or my parents. I was afraid because I was picked on all the time. That's why I was afraid. It had nothing to do with what anyone else was trying to tell me I should believe. I went through it on a day-to-day basis. That's why I was afraid. It had nothing to do with programming.
Did they ever come back and say they were sorry?
Oh, gosh, no. Now, I mean, if there was a girl in school that I thought was cute, and you have to understand, I was very shy, very nerdy and backwards when I was growing up. If there was a girl that I happened to find attractive, I understand, when I was in junior high school in 1983 to 1985, the town that I grew up in, it became a very trendy thing for white girls to date black guys. It literally became a trendy thing where, you know, all of a sudden, where you just never saw it in our town, everybody had to do it. So if there was a certain girl that I happened to be attracted to, I would never go up to her. I would never even approach her. Now, I may tell some people about it, but I wouldn't expect anything to come of it. I literally had young black men come up to me or even call me on the phone at my home and say, hey, I hear you like this girl. Well, you know, that's my girl, and if you go near her, I'm going to kick your, you know, blah, blah, blah. Those are the sort of things that happened on a regular basis to me. It was probably because I was shy and I was backwards. I was no threat to them, so it was easy for them to pick on. But that just, made my experience my whole life. Up until the point, well, the gentleman said he was from Pittsburgh. When I lived in Pittsburgh, I had very short hair. I wore a buzz cut at the time and a leather jacket. They thought I was a skinhead, probably. I probably looked like one. I had none of those views. I didn't believe to be that way, but because of that, I was threatened on the bus several times that when I got off, basically, they were going to hurt me very badly and that I would regret being a skinhead, which I wasn't. And then, of course, when I would try to tell them about it, they would just laugh at me and tell me to shut up and, you know, just take a beat and whatever.
Were you in a majority black school?
When I was in Maslin?
Yeah. What kind of demographics was that? Was it 50-50, 50-25?
It's probably because of where the high school sits. It actually kind of, you got to understand, at one time Maslin was pretty segregated. You had Walnut Hills, and you had the southeast side, and it was all black. That's who lived there. There was no white people there, and white people lived everywhere else in Maslin. But the school sat right on the edge of where the black area was. So the school was probably about 60-40 white to black.
And how did the teachers react to it? Did they know, or did they not do anything about it? Because the reason why I've heard this before. I saw it when I was younger. And I'm in my late 40s, and I saw it from both areas. I found that white kids could be very, very cruel, and they would be very, very elitist. in their thought. And now that I'm an adult, I found that some of them needed to be that way because of the environment that they were in. And so,
honestly, most of the teachers at the school were afraid of the kid. You know, I even shared a story last time we called about a kid I know pretty closely that goes to Akron U. And he was sitting in the library one day, and a group of young black kids came in, college age, obviously, because he's at Akron University. They came up to him at his table. Now, this kid sits there. He's kind of a nerdy kid. He's a bigger kid. He wrestles and plays basketball, but he's smart. He's kind of nerdy looking, I guess. They came up and told him to move out of his seat, that they wanted his chair. Now, he stood up to them and said no. They moved on to another young man, told him to move out of his chair. This kid moved. As they sat at the table, they were loud. They were cutting up, laughing, being silly. So this young kid who was made to move went to the librarian and said, why are you allowing them to act up like this? They're very loud, very obnoxious, and we're trying to study. She was afraid. This just happened a few weeks back. She was afraid to go over and say something to these young men. So she actually went out and got campus security to come in and say something to them. When campus security came in, of course, they started cussing, knocking books over, making a scene, and he had to throw them out. Well, these young men waited outside, basically, to jump this kid for having told on them. Now, looking at that situation, is that kid, you know, responsible for doing something to those young men because he told on them, or did they deserve to be told on because they were acting a fool in the library? But the way that the librarian was afraid to confront them, same thing with the teachers in my school when I was growing up, afraid to address this issue because they didn't want to deal with it. They were afraid of the young black men.
But see, I don't understand them being hold on, Ms. Alethea. I don't understand them being afraid of the black young man in your era. Now, today is a little bit different because when we were in school, I think you're around my age, am I correct?
I'm 42, yes.
You're in your 40s. And when I was in school, teachers had more authority. So they really didn't have to deal with some of the politics that they have to deal with today. Whereas, you know, today is a whole other ball of wax, and I'm not quite sure why we allowed it to get to that point, because teachers had more authority then. Go ahead, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I live in a city where we have an urban school district. If there is any instances of any type of bullying, this is just going to get worse in the next generation because the city is becoming more of an immigrant city. You have different groups. Now, if you had problems with African-American boys over a generation ago, there's going to be even greater problems today. Because you have the influx of Hispanics, you have the influx of people who come from the Arab countries, you have people from India and China, and I don't know if they would bully at the same level of the African Americans, but you basically have more of a kind of balkanized type school district. So, you know, if you have problems with the African-American group, then that potential child is going to have problems with these other racial groups as well.
But see, so, my issue is, because and 440, this is my issue. The problem is I don't think we see African-American being bullied or being bullying. You know what I mean? I think that's the issue. You know, we always, when we look at racism and we look at prejudices, it always tends to go one way. And I don't think some people have ever seen some of it be reversed, and nor do they conceptualize it in their mind. So they feel as though if a white man beats up a black man, if a white man beats up a black man, it's racist. But if a black man beats up a white man, it's protection.
Right,
but what's going to happen in the future is that you're going to have more and more
Philly,
going to be this cross-interaction between black and everything else.
But listen, sweetie, you're changing the conversation, and I want to go back to 440 where we were talking about this, because, honey, listen, the issue is not about where we're going in the future. We need to understand where we are right now. And right now, in the mindsets of Americans, black people, and black people, in the mindsets of some black people, and I'm not going to say all, but some black people are never prejudiced, they're never racist. They just,
well,
they have, you know. Listen to what I'm saying. And so this is a conversation that went on a couple of days ago that someone called this caller a liar because he said he was bullied by black kids in school.
Well, but look.
Go ahead, 409.
But I can tell you from experience that Hispanics, they tend to bully even more than blacks do. Like in terms of Hispanic kids,
but we're not
will tend to bully white kids even worse than blacks will.
We're not talking about
that's,
no. Listen, we got to go where we are, not where you're trying to go. Go ahead, 440-449.
Well, and another thing, Tracy, and was it about 1999, 2000? I was a counselor, camp counselor at a Salvation Army camp down in Cincinnati. One week we would have the church kids, which basically the officers in the Salvation Army, it was their kids that would come to camp. And then the following week, every other week, we would have inner city kids from Cincinnati. They had a program where parents could send their kids to camp for a week, you know, get them out of the house, get them out in the country, whatever. And it was predominantly black. Probably 95% of the kids came out those week were black, and our ages were from 6 years old up to 14 years old. And I can't tell you the weeks that the inner city kids were there, the number of fights that we would have, the kids sneaking out in the middle of the night, the boys to go into the girls' dorms. I mean, those weeks were hard on the people working there because it was just, it was chaos, just literal chaos the entire week. We were, as counselors, you know, there was only so much we could do. We were so frustrated. A lot of us were scared because some of these 14-year-old kids, girls, really, I mean, it's unbelievable. The girls were so violent. I mean, there were so many fights that week. It was unbelievable. So I was just trying to bring context that day saying, this isn't hearsay. You know, for some of us, this is our experience. Now, I'm not saying they're not allowed to be angry. I'm not saying that these kids don't have a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it could be their home life. It could be a number of reasons. But I'm saying if you're just looking at it from a scientific standpoint,
but
my mostly, and at my age, obviously, I have people that I'm close to that are black. And they're sweet as can be, obviously. I'm not judging everybody because my life experience has shown me differences now. But up to a certain point in my life, it just seemed to be the norm. They were angry and violent, and, you know, that was just from personal experience.
Hold on, Philadelphia. Hold on, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I just wanted to say.
Hold on, Philadelphia. Hold on. We got some time. I'm going nowhere. Private caller, did you want to chime in on this? Private caller, your mic is on.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The gentleman you have on, it sounds like he has more issues beyond the black and white issue. He brought up a lot of points, but you have to understand this is, you know, black men beating up white guys. You have to understand, remember, I had a white boyfriend. He told me when he was on the football team, he would get the hell from the black guys on the football team, not because he was black. They were kind of taking out the slavery and all the discrimination out of him. But when white people discriminate against blacks, it's so because they think we're niggers, we're this, we're that. Two different types of discrimination.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just don't automatically just punch some other race in the face for absolutely no reason.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Don't go anywhere because that you bring up a good point right there, and that's something that we can get into. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.
Francis took a message of hope to his llama in Rio de Janeiro. Later today, he'll celebrate mass on the famous Copacabana Beach. The Dow is up 6 points. NASDAQ ahead 22 points. This is ABC News.
Don's dream of owning a home was crushed. Don became a victim of identity theft, and he didn't even know it. It didn't stop there. Even the business Don owned took a hit. With his credit ruined, Don couldn't even get a business loan. Nervous and confused, Don called LifeLock, the industry leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock went into action, uncovering multiple fraudulent credit applications identity thieves were trying to open in his name. LifeLock shut them down, helping Don avoid further disasters associated with having your identity stolen. Don found out the hard way that identity theft has become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't make the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
An unruly passenger on a Southwest Airlines flight from California to Texas will soon be free to move about his cabin, his prison cell. ABC's Alex Stone has the story.
Old Brian Allen has now pleaded guilty to interfering with a flight crew. He was arrested in May. Prosecutors say he smoked methamphetamine and drank alcohol before he boarded the Southwest Airlines flight. On board, they say he began hallucinating, tried to get in the cockpit, and pushed a flight attendant. As part of his plea agreement, Allen will get 4 years in federal prison when sentencing is held in the fall. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Marine archaeologists are excited by the discovery of a well-preserved shipwreck about 170 miles off the coast of Galveston, Texas, which could be 200 years old, about 4,300 feet below the surface, which is too deep to explore. So researchers have been using remote-controlled undersea vehicles. They found muskets, swords, cannons, clothing, and covered bottles and a navigational tool, ABC News.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeats, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido? At Fab Stories, if you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40, so you can finally lose the weight. And the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-259-2803. That's 1-800-259-2803.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack model. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Yo, what's up? Right, Fran Bacon here. I'm the bigger, better bacon. Bacon that makes a bold statement. We're talking major slices of thick, meaty bacon. I'm so big you could serve me to the presidents on Mount Rushmore. When I'm on the grill sizzling, I smell so incredible. It attracts guys faster than a half-priced bikini car wash. I'm so
Right Brand Bacon. Bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community, businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, fresh, healthy vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-424-8282. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking, fresh, healthy vending franchise today. 800-424-8282. 800-424-8282.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. Philadelphia, another young lady called in, and 409 is on. I'm in the studio by myself, and we're having a conversation, and 409,
yes,
a meeting talk, he came to listen, and I wasn't going to allow it. And he brought up a conversation that we had a couple days ago in reference to race and about how he was treated. And another young lady, and I want her to bring up your point again. Private caller, I want you to bring your point up again because you said something very, very profound that I don't think we actually understand. Hello? Hey, the young lady with the private call. Can you hear me now? Hello? I've lost her. She said something. She said if they pick with a person, it's based upon their experiences with white, not their hatred of white. And I think I paraphrase that. And if I get it wrong, hopefully she'll be able to chime in. I think she's having some problems with her phone. But
yes.
But I tend to think she's right about that. Go ahead, Philadelphia. Make it quick, because I've got other calls pull up.
There's probably more tension between people who are black than it is black on white. And the other thing is, if white kids think they had problems with black kids over a generation ago, these new immigrants
are going to give them even
more problems.
Sweetie, I'm going to hang up on you. We're not talking about new immigrants. We're trying to take care of what we're in now, not where we're headed. We're not forecasting right now.
But
this is not a forecast.
Basically, but what I'm saying is these new immigrants are already here.
But I'm not talking about immigrants.
We're basically dealing with them right now.
But I'm not talking about them.
Yeah, but if
you're trying to change the course of the conversation. No, 207, your mic is on.
Hey Tracy, can I say one last thing before I get off of one?
Yeah, go ahead, 409.
Oh, I just so it doesn't sound like it's all bad. When I first got saved in 1997, when the Lord took me out of drugs and the whole mess that I was in, the first church that I attended was an AME Zion church, and it was the most amazing group of people I'd ever been around. My mom attended with me, and we were the only white people in the church, and we were incredibly accepted, loved on. I met some amazing people, and that really changed my view of human beings in general, but especially the black community, because I met so many wonderful people at that church that God really opened my eyes and changed a lot of my stereotypes and prejudices. So obviously there was a point of change, so I don't want to leave it that just my whole experience, my whole life has been negative. There was a time where God really changed things around and introduced me to an amazing group of people.
Okay. I thank you for that. But what I'm saying is your experiences, they help to shape our prejudices, even if we're not prejudiced, if that makes any sense. And so when we look at the Zimmerman trial, when we look at things and they have a racial element, even if it's not race, based on our experiences, we will call something racism or race-based that has absolutely nothing to do with race. It had absolutely something to do with anything else. But as long as there's two people of two opposite races, we will bring something in and call it race. Go ahead, 207.
Yeah, Tracy, I'm just, calling in there. I was just listening to the conversation. I just wanted to say, it always kind of amazes me when I hear, like, your caller right there, speak on the fact when he was of his experiences pertaining, to black people here in this country and stuff. I mean, for 400 years, our people, went through all type of atrocities and stuff in this country, and it wasn't really, it was looked at and then their head was turned. Now that sometimes, black people do some things that aren't right and stuff like that, now all of a sudden, it's a major issue to where it wasn't, for 400 years. You know, I mean, it amazes me when I hear anybody say that.
I don't understand, Reggie. What I'm saying is, is it okay for me to take my?
You said you don't understand.
No, I don't understand. I'm talking about with you. I'm saying, is it okay for me to take out my frustration on somebody white because somebody white did something to me in my past? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying particularly that it's okay, but I can understand it. I can understand it to a certain degree because it's happened to us ever since we've been in this country. Yeah, I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand it. I can understand. Yeah, I sure can. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Alabama, your mic is on.
I'm just listening. Go ahead.
So is it okay?
I just told you. I said I don't think that is particularly right, but I can understand it. 400 years we went through things. Was that right?
But that wasn't the day.
What was?
I can understand if it was your grandmama who did it to me, or even if it was you. But the problem that we have here is we're blaming people who they don't have a clue what the heck we're talking about. They don't even teach them black history in their school. And we're trying to make them accountable for something that somebody else did that they don't even know nothing about. If you understand it.
Well, you know, sometimes things, you know, happen to where, you know, it's not particularly your fault, you know, in general, right, at that time. But sometimes things that you do comes back to haunt you.
Oh, Red.
I'm sure you have heard that before.
That's such a problem. I know, but it doesn't make it right because what's happening is
I didn't say it was right, dear.
I'm just saying, but I'm promoting. Listen to what I'm saying, Reg. I know why they do it, but I can't condone it no more because what's happening is it's doing nothing but putting a wedge between society, which means we can't coexist and we can't cohabitate. I got young people right now talking about prejudice and racism, and they don't know prejudice and racism. They need to go talk to their grandmama and their grandpapa and talk about racism.
Yeah.
We haven't seen racism.
You're right.
I don't think that the level of bullying between white and black is as great as it's made out to be or even today. I think what's going to happen is, as I said before, the white population is going to have to deal with with different types of people, and these people are just not going to be black. So, you know, these new people that are coming in, they have more of a balkanized view where they tend to stay within their particular group, and they will engage in the bullying of white kids who are kind of outcasts in the school.
But we're not talking about bullying.
So it's not just
going to
be between black and white anymore.
We're not talking about bullying. We're talking about racism.
But that's what the other caller was talking about. He was talking about the fact that he had been bullied by black males.
That's not what we were talking about. That's what I'm saying. You should have listened for a minute. What we were talking about is a conversation we had a couple days ago when somebody called him a liar about him being beat up by black kids growing up in Maslin. The conversation was not about the bullying of the black kids. The conversation was about black kids beating him up and somebody calling him a liar when he said it.
So the point of that was, Trace, what your caller or whoever said that right there, I mean, was what? I mean, he was highly upset.
A lot of people don't understand.
He got beat up, and look how many black people got beat up.
He was upset because we called him a lie about his experience.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I understand that.
And our problem is a lot of times black people, because of an enraged emotional behavior, we can come off as very abrasive when we're trying to be funny. See, mama jokes come from black folks. didn't come from Kmart.
Okay.
We can be teased and be abrasive and go into another culture and they think it'd be so mean. And this young man had an experience with a black group of young men growing up that was not kind, and it was based. He felt as though it was based upon the color of his skin. Well, another young lady called in and said it may have been based on. Hold on, but it may not have been based on him being just white, but of their own personal experiences with white. You understand?
I have.
Because see,
when
I
lived in Jersey,
it could have been a combination of both.
Trace, when I lived in Jersey, me and my brothers and stuff, we was the only black family within the area. I'm talking about like the only black family. We lived in a place called Dorothy, New Jersey, and these Caucasian kids jumped on my brother underneath me. And I had to get my mother and stuff to go up there. Now, we're the only black family at that time. And, yeah, we stayed in New Jersey probably about 3 years and went to this little hick school or something.
Right,
this was a long time ago. So I'm saying it. Getting beat up, you know. And that probably was on account of the fact that we was the only black at the area. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it was right in general what happened
but
to your caller.
But what I'm saying is they called him a liar the other day. Somebody here that was on the air.
Who called him a liar?
I don't know, Red. I can't go back there. I don't know. I can't remember. Somebody on the call.
Come on, Tracy. You can remember.
No, I can't.
You can remember who called him.
Red.
Come on, Tracy.
Red.
Come on now,
I do too many shows in a week. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. What I'm saying is I don't remember who called him a liar, but I remember the conversation. And I wanted to, and since he was on, I wanted to bring it back.
My leg, man.
I wanted to bring it back up because it is important. We need to understand that. It
okay.
is important because we don't believe when white people say they were picked on by black folks.
Well, it ain't nothing that
okay,
ain't
Jeff,
happened.
Wait a minute, Jeff said. Hold on, Jeff said it didn't say that we called him a liar. We said that we don't believe you. Well, if we don't believe you, that means you called me a lie. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Now Jeff ought to know better. We're talking about if we
yeah,
say we don't
Jeff
believe
I
you,
said he should know better.
Jeff in the chat room talking about if I don't believe. We said we didn't believe him. Well, if you tell me if I said it happened and you said you don't believe me, that means you called me a lie. Just because you didn't call me a lie, don't mean we didn't call him a lie.
That's true.
But a lot of people and a lot of white people have had experiences, and we need to talk about the experiences so that we can overcome them. That's what it's all about. I'm not trying to go forward and talk about what's going to happen in the future. Right now, we have a problem with race in America, and it's getting ready to come to a head.
You know what, Trey?
But the only thing I was saying is I'm not talking about the future. I'm talking about events that are happening right now. These things are happening right now.
But I'm not talking about Hispanic people. Right
yeah,
now, where you are,
you
got Hispanic people. The Hispanic people that I have here in my community, I can put all in my house.
Well,
the whole thing is
that their population is growing, and they may not be located at your location
now. But you're trying to change my show. You're trying to change my show into what you want, and I'm not going to let you do that. That's what it boils down to.
No, I'm not trying to change the show. I'm just saying that if you have whites that have problems with blacks, they're definitely going to have major problems in the future because these new people coming here, they have more of a balkanized view of life. And
you
if you're
said that
an
already.
Outcast, and if you're an outcast in the school, these people are going to bully you the same way that blacks did in the past.
Again, this is not about but black folks ain't balkanized white folks. We've been scared of white folks so that we won't even get up and go to work in the morning. What are you talking about? The problem with black folks is that they're scared of white folks. They're still intimidated by white people. That's why we think the white man's ice is colder and his water is wetter. We still hold them in an elite class in our heads. The problem is not with what they've done. The problem is what they've indoctrinated us with. And we need to be inoculated so that we can actually stand on our own two feet. And I'm not concerned about Latinos coming in here. I'm concerned about black folks staying here and white people getting along, because right now, if we don't do something, we are going to combust. And it ain't going to be no Latinos, because all they're going to do is jump in and start stealing like they did in the Rodney King. And sit off to the sidelines and laugh. Yeah, Reg?
No, I was just going to say this, and I get out the way in general. I was just going to say, I hear what you're saying and stuff, and to a degree, it makes somewhat sense. But I want to say, I think the problem basically is in this country that Caucasian America here has never looked at the black man and the black woman as really being American. See, because if you was really black people was really Americans, they would be allowed to live the American dream. They keep talking about the American dream all the time and stuff. But when you look at as less than a man, then it's going to be very hard for you to accomplish anything in a place when you can't even be a man that God has put you on this earth to be. So,
let me clue you in on something that you may or may not know. I want you to hear this. The problem is that the problem is not with white people not looking at us as Americans. The problem is we are not looking at ourselves as Americans. And if you expect for any let me finish.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
If you expect for anybody to give you anything, and the primary word there is give, no one is going to give you nothing. If you want something, you need to go and get it for yourself.
Tracy,
we are not doing that.
Tracy, listen to what I'm saying to
you. Well, if you haven't learned that by now, you're definitely
not
going to learn that in the near future.
It's not the point that black people wouldn't get out and get it. It's the fact that the Caucasian America in this country will not let you get. If you're American, you should have the same rights that's supposed to be American.
You're never going to get it. Again, if you want to change something.
What are you talking about then?
What I'm
saying is they treat
poor whites the same way they treat black folk. If you think what I'm saying to you is you got to go get it.
You're not making sense.
You're not listening.
You're not making sense.
I'm not making sense to me. And again, I'm not making sense to you, but I'm telling you the truth. The problem with America right now, especially black Americans, is not that the white folk don't look at you as a whole man. The problem is when you look in the mirror, you don't see a whole man.
No, I don't believe that.
That's why your kids are killing each other in the street.
No, I don't believe that.
Trust me when I say that. We got a bunch of males walking around.
No.
People don't believe that they're free, and they're free. Because free people have to go out and work.
You believe
free people
that,
have to
huh?
make a living for themselves.
You believe
That's
that,
true.
Huh?
I know
that. You believe
that,
huh? You think that
I know
black
that. People understand? Red, you the one that won't read it in a book. You still talking about Uncle Tom's. We ain't Uncle Tom's. Uncle Tom was a good guy.
Hey, you think black people had the same rights as everybody?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes, black people have, but you got to go get them for yourself, because they're not going to give them to you.
Then you believe the sky is falling then, too.
Oh, man. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I missed you for a while. I agree with what you're saying. I really, really do. And to back you up on that, on Saturday evenings, I go with my church down on Hillman Street in the corner of Warren. You know where that is?
Yes.
And we feed. All who comes, we feed you. And it's predominantly all black down there.
Right.
And we're down there till late at night, 10:30. Some of us want to start staying later. And everybody I have ministered to, everybody I have prayed over, it was all because they felt they had nothing in their lives. Nobody has given them anything or helped them because of where they live, because of no money. You know what I mean? Because lack of education. So we are looking at, some of these kids are young down there that are prostitutes and the guy selling the woman out. But they felt they haven't given a fair chance. And my heart goes out to them. And I could see it in them.
And they haven't been given a fair shake.
No, they haven't. Because
they haven't.
You know what I see down there, Tracy? It's just like a, it rolls. It's just like one generation after another. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It does. It's just over and over and over again. And some of them tell me, I can't get the help. No, I'm black, blah, 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 blah. No. See, but we're trying to come to them with prayer. And we're trying to come to them, okay, we'll take you, and we'll even take you to church, too.
If you,
and they don't really come, but we're there for them.
If you, don't give people hope.
Exactly. And, Tracy, some of these girls are young. You would fall over.
But we don't give them hope.
In the streets. We do. We tell them there is hope out there, you know.
But they got to see it. We got to do more than talk. We don't give them hope. Hope is an experience. Even when Jesus went out, he showed them hope. We don't give hope to the hopeless.
No. And these little kids that come, Tracy, when they see the one guy pulling them, because we cook the hot dogs and do the potato chips in the water and make a fire and we sit around. And these little kids just come running, and, I mean, your heart breaks.
Yeah.
And you just let them, you know, give them some.
And they go to school, and they don't give them hope. They don't give them the education so that they'll have hope. That's
right.
The issue. And we, and as adults, we are not putting the right resources in the right places because it's really not about giving them stuff. It's about giving them self-esteem and giving them hope and letting them know, giving them education, giving them God.
Exactly.
And once they realize that they're not worthless and they can do something, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The new Cantina Double Steak Quesadilla from Taco Bell is loaded with real pepper jack cheese and a double portion of thick cut marinated steak. How much steak is that? A lot of steak.
No license, no problem. Auto insurance, no matter what.
I was not finished telling you how much steak is in the new Cantina Double Steak Quesadilla from Taco Bell. So much steak, we need to double the commercial to tell you about it.
Double the steak compared to the 1.5 ounce portion of steak taco. At participating locations for limited time only.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Liberals were dominant in the House and Senate and remained so until 1994. Conservatism seemed like a lost movement. Reagan didn't give up. Reagan didn't turn on America. He made the case, came up with an agenda, and met the needs of his time. He won people over.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyAndFriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
You've been on my mind, I grow funded every day, lose myself in time, just thinking of your face, God only knows why it takes.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5. Let me do this again. The number is 347-945-5229. And again, we want to hear from you. We were talking, 409 called in, and last week, Jeff is in the chat room. Jeff said we said that we didn't believe him. No, that, well, and he said they said it was a lie. You know, that's, I've always thought if you say that I don't believe you, that means you said I'm lying about what I'm saying. And it was about how he was beaten or he was penalized or abused by African-Americans in his community and in his school when he was going to school, and he was in his 40s. And I told Jeff during the break that time, I said, I'd seen that too. I've seen people be abused and upset and broke up, messed up, and done that. And just, you know, black kids going after white kids. I saw that. And I thought, a lot of it had to do with economics because, you know, a lot of things happen. And we'll go into that a little bit. I want to pull up some of the phone lines. But economics tends to, because I saw poor whites live in the black communities and get beat up just because they were there based upon how other white kids treated black kids when they got into school. And so it can cut both ways. It can mess up. Where white people don't necessarily understand the frustration of African-Americans, African-Americans, I don't think, understand the frustration of white people and their, what they would call rights. And when I was talking to Reg, and Reg saying, well, you know, black people aren't free, and they don't view black people as free. My issue is you can view me as you choose as long as I know who I am. And we need to put that mindset inside of our children. You are free to do and to become anything you choose if you work hard enough. You have to overcome obstacles. Yes, there's racism out there. You have to overcome that. But if you work at it and you make it happen, you can do it. Just that simple.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm looking at something. I'm looking at a tagline on the news right now, and they're talking about civil rights is now an industry. It is a money-making industry. People are making money on civil rights. They're making money on racism. They're making money on prejudice. And they're using it as a new industry because they can't make anything else. And they're using people. And as long as they keep us separated and they keep us where we are today, they win and they make money. Don't make yourself a commodity. Make yourself free. Go ahead, Alabama. I think that was you.
It wasn't.
Okay. Who's 831?
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. I couldn't have said it better. I was calling because I listened to the young men and I realized that, you know, they've gone through a lot of pain, I'm sure, and have witnessed a lot of stuff that they have felt is unfair. But I shared with you once that, you know, at one time I was a very wealthy woman. And when that changed for me, I was treated differently. And when I had to be with people with disabilities and, you know, raising my grandsons, you know, I was a single woman, older, with children, it was difficult, and I was treated differently. Didn't matter what my heart was, didn't matter, you know, where I came from, didn't matter. It was, you know, what I drove, where I lived, and you're right. I was just so glad that you said that, you know, it is, and people are making money on the suffering, suffering from disabilities, poor, racial, cancer. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And you just said it so well that I really can't, I just, you know, I'm glad that you did it. I'm just glad you did it, because I remember, you know, growing up, I didn't see any blacks. And I'm sure there are some black children that don't see many whites. There are places still,
and,
you know.
And that's a problem.
I mean, there are still, they are still here. That's still,
we know, but they're segregated. And I, you know, when I go down to East Liverpool, I'm the only color they've never seen, except for John that lived down the street, and he's 103.
Right.
And right. What they see is on television. What they see is on the news, and that doesn't portray who
I
people
know.
Are.
And you know, our jails are filled with white men and young white men, and young white men are killing each other because they're poor, they're uneducated. They don't have any self-esteem. They've been mistreated as children, and they've decided to be victims, and it just goes on. And there are 4 and 5 generations of whites, said, and they're living there, and they've been on welfare all their lives, waiting for someone to give them something. And I'm telling you, my grandfather said, if you want to destroy someone, give them everything they want. And they will do it themselves.
Bonnie, hold on just a second. There is a guy in the chat room, and he is he is psychotic. And
he's psychotic?
Absolutely. He is crazy as a red bug. He needs to go and actually put himself inside of an insane asylum.
Oh, boy.
And it's bad. And he shows up every day. And our jails are filled with black men and black men and white men. The problem
Absolutely.
Is disproportionately African Americans, based upon their population, has
yes,
a growing
right.
number there. But when she
you're
says
right.
they're filled with white men, you've got white men and black men in prison, in jail.
Yes.
And right now, it's going to do nothing but grow, and that includes white
Absolutely.
Women and black women.
Absolutely.
You know, welfare has more white people on it than black people, just because they put the face of welfare with a black face. You think it's only black people that are receiving, and it's not. There are blacks
well,
and whites
know.
That are living in poverty.
Yes.
And need assistance. Disproportionately,
yes.
African Americans are a part of that because of the systematic programs that have been maligned by them and because of them.
Well, because they've been developed in the areas where blacks are living, so they can monopolize on the pain and suffering. And then, you know, someone got a little smart and decided to put it, you know, in the media, and then they've decided to move it to the Appalachia and to every place that they can monopolize on the pain and suffering. You know, Tracy, where we live, someone was saying that people with, when you said psychotic, you know, with mental illness, and, of course, one of your commercials, it's done so well, but, you know, mental illness is growing, and look how it's become an occupation. I mean, a college degree. And then the state decides, and the federal government decides to hop in the bandwagon and go, we're going to develop a program. Let's put out some funds out there so people can, you know, get this and get that and get this and get that. And it's never to be the kind of help, what you just said, to get them a break, to get them a break and give them that step up. And like you and I and some of the callers and people that come in, you know, they actually physically do the work. You know what I mean? They help somebody they know.
We have no
These
choice.
Programs really don't.
But again,
really
that goes to an undereducated group of people who are.
Yes, it does.
Who are it's an undereducated group of people who have been manipulated and mobilized into becoming something that they're not. And we need to be honest about that. That's what we've done. We have created a monster.
Yes.
There are people that need help out there that we need to give help. But there are people out there that are getting help that need to go to work. And
absolutely.
we need to have an accountability system that's going to make people who can work go to work. That's the whole issue is about.
Right.
If you
I mean,
everybody's not going to be like Not So Blind Mike and be able to go and be a carpenter and be blind. That's not going to happen. Everybody's not going to be Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. We understand that. So those of them who cannot, we understand and we will support them. But I have a problem supporting able-bodied people that can go to work.
Right. I remember, Tracy, is it okay if I talk very, very blunt about when I was a child, what happened?
Yeah.
And the person in your, you know, then I'm not online, so I can't see what you say, this psychotic person, because this is going to send him over the edge, okay?
Oh, that's right. He
needs what I'm going to say. When I was 5 years old, I'm starting school, and my father was a hard, hard worker, didn't read and write, left school at the age of eighth grade, was a coal miner. When we lived on a farm, you know, we produced pretty much everything we needed. My father said to me when I started school, and he was very, very happy to put me into a public school system, said to me, there are white niggers and there's black niggers, and Bonnie, you stay away from them. You stay away from them. Now, Tracy, I had never seen a black person, but I knew what a white nigger was.
What was that?
And I knew it was, someone for themselves, and they wanted a free ride. They wanted a free ride.
Wow.
And I tell you, I knew what that was, Tracy. I was 5 years old, but we had been taught how to work. And when I say that, it still gives me goose pimples, because I know that people who are black don't realize that there are white children being raised to know what white niggers are. Now, we make a big joke about it and call them white trash. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But I knew.
But you have an education for somebody out there.
I had never seen one. I had never seen a black person, ever. I was a sixth grader before I ever seen a black person. I was sixth grade. Now, I don't know how old that would have made me. What, 11, 10, 11, 10, 11, something 10, like that?
10, 11, 12, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, and I consider so many people, and I mean, when I was a sixth grader, there were three brothers, and they were my best friends, you know, growing up. And we were, and you know, they could run, and they were just fun, always smiling. They didn't live far from where we lived, and my father knew, and his father was a hard worker. Their father was a hard worker. My father allowed that. My father didn't want us hanging out with people who did not work. Didn't want us to hang out with people who did not believe in God. You know, we were raised Catholic. You know, Dad didn't want us to do that. And he spotted them out a mile away. We could be anywhere, my dad would say something. Look at that. You know.
Hey, Alabama.
You know.
Alabama, you there? I know you are. Oh,
yeah.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah, I have.
Thank you, Alabama. Thank you. Because a lot of people won't say it. A lot of people just won't say it. You know, there's a difference, Tracy. There's a difference. And I made my mind up that I wasn't going to be. You know, when I was poor, I got treated as though I was. When I didn't have a bank account and I had to, you know, count out my tip money to pay for a car, $1,700 car. But something inside my heart said, you know what, you're going to make the best of that car. I drove that silly old car that I disliked for 3 years, but it was paid for. And it wasn't the nicest car in the lot, but it shined. I kept it clean, and I kept it running. And I kept my own self-esteem by thinking, you know what, this is hard. I'm going to do this. I had two babies. I didn't have any choice. I'm telling you, Tracy, people don't have to live the way I hear some of your callers living. But it's not
My callers, I mean, I would have to say most of my callers, they do well. We have a good
socioeconomic. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Some of them talk about, you know, not having a free chance. And when you said the American thing, it is.
But you have to understand a lot of people, especially a lot of African Americans, don't believe that they're free. When they hear three-fifths of a person, they still think that white people look at them as three-fifths of a person. And I have come to my own experiences, my own resolve from just being around. That is not true.
It's not true.
What people call me. It's what I call myself. And until we learn how to deal with that, we will always be waiting for somebody to come and save us, waiting for a handout somewhere, because slaves always wait for the master to feed them. And what we're doing is we're turning our government into our master. And this
and
is both black and white.
And we're destroying the human race.
Absolutely.
We're destroying
We're destroying the American people. I can't say it because the human race is something different. America and its new socialistic ideas.
Right.
Hold on.
You're right.
Not so blind, Mike. I think that's you. South Carolina, is that you?
They don't want to talk, Tracy. You're going to have to get offline so they'll talk with you.
They're supposed to push the button. They're supposed to push the button.
I know.
Alabama, your mic is still on. Not Alabama, but Philadelphia, your mic is still on.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say when you're talking about the problems that black people have today, what the ministers in the churches should do is try to encourage the black family to stay together and to fight these stereotypes. Namely in like the rap music or in the movies, they try to depict all black men as being like either like people who are into drugs or crime or whatever. And that's a job that black people who are interested in what's happening, that's probably something that they can start to pursue to try to combat some of these images that we see.
They don't
want Philadelphia. But Philadelphia, wait a minute. You know, you're talking about TV and stuff. Every woman on television, she's selling a Coke at McDonald's, is a sex symbol. She's got her perfect makeup and yada, yada. We women have been dealing with this since before Marilyn Monroe. It doesn't matter. They're gonna produce whatever sells.
Right, but what I was talking about are the ethnic stereotypes.
It's the same thing
that you see in the black community.
Women,
what the black
like
ministers and black churches should do is,
but they're not,
they should
but
try
they
to
care.
Combat these stereotypes that are in the media and that are namely put forward by like all black channels.
Do you understand
that are on,
something?
These
they
different cable networks.
But Philadelphia. The black preacher, the majority of them, they don't care. They're there for the cash. They're not there for the soul.
Well, I realize that. So therefore,
so we don't need to call on them.
A problem in terms
no,
of the
we're
unity
not.
Of the black family.
No, we're going to have to continue doing what we're doing.
Because you have a problem with the churches.
No, but the thing is, the churches
with
are not
the
don't the
churches.
The church does not have to be
to keep the community together.
But the church does not have to be the bad preacher does not have to be the leader in the community. We can go lead.
I didn't say the bad preacher has to be the leader. I said that the church should play an active role in
and I'm talking about
trying to
the
keep the black family together, keeping
you
the man and the woman into a cohesive unit.
Philadelphia, you can't keep us together if we're not getting married.
We have to do it ourselves. We know right from wrong. We need to do it ourselves. It has nothing to do with the preachers. Churches are developed because people need a place to
go to
worship.
Well, I don't fully understand, like, when you say do it yourself. What I'm saying is that this happens to be problems that you find that are more prevalent in certain ethnic groups than others. So if African Americans are finding they have a problem with this, then they should look to these different types of social institutions to aid them in trying to solve these problems.
Hey, Alex.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon, Alex.
I think that you might be promoting a little bit of irresponsibility in your African American listeners, because I think you're kind of disarming them to tell them that you know, all you have to do is work hard, just go out and get it. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think about you, that kind of thing. To an extent, it doesn't. In terms of your own confidence and will, but we have to be aware of the realities of that afflict our community and our people, because we have to come up with solutions to help our children. And so there's just certain realities that we have to deal with that other people don't, especially not white people, even if they're
like
poor.
What?
Unless they live in our neighborhood, they don't have to deal with it. For instance, I can tell you probably none of your white listeners can fathom being stopped and frisked just for riding a bike down the street. Just for riding a bike down the street, they're stopped by the police and frisked. It happens all the time. Yes.
Alex, it happens all the time. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I would quit moving out of my neighborhood.
What does that have to do with anything?
Listen to what I'm saying. There are obstacles that you have to overcome. I said that. There are obstacles that you have to overcome. And it's okay. But the obstacles that you overcome, you cannot stop because somebody pushed you. I told you, racism is still alive and well. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not, you know, it is what it is, but you can overcome it. Because if we can overcome what our parents and grandparents went through and our great-grandparents went through, if they can overcome, we can overcome. The problem is we want to use it as an excuse.
I would argue that they didn't overcome. They just survived it.
No, Alex, they overcame it because
you can't
have a master's degree in engineering, have a family, make money, and go anywhere you want to go, spend how you want to spend, live where you want to live, and then tell me you ain't overcome something.
You know, that's what people say a lot. That's like the argument people use a lot. But what we have to understand is that even during slavery, there were I think we had more black people in Congress in slavery than we do today. So
that's true.
That has no bearing on anything about and they had mobility to go where they wanted and spend what they wanted to do. So whether or not I have a there's people, you know, 100 years ago that had, and there's books that I have in my personal library. I had PhDs and all kinds of things, and so that has really no bearing on a system of white supremacy. That really doesn't matter. What matters is if you try to remove yourself from their control. That's when the problem comes in, because we've had numerous attempts where we've tried to build ourselves up in our own enterprises, and as long as we were working for them or being subservient, it was okay. But as soon as we got up under them and started to be independent and self-reliant, then they knocked us down and even gone as far as dropping bombs on us. And that happened.
Alan,
happens even today. It happens today.
So the point is that you're making, should I quit trying? Because right now, you can best believe they got total control over us, because we either go into the grave or go into the penitentiary like there's a business there somewhere.
No, I mean, obviously that would be silly to say to give up or something like that. Definitely
so
not.
When I look at my young people today, some of them whom you and I both know, going absolutely nowhere, and ain't nobody saying nothing to them. They talking about they free. They ain't free. The white man got their foot on their neck yet, but they don't have an education, a GED, and can't do nothing. They selling drugs, showing up with iPods and iPads and new cars, and ain't got a job or an education. Now you tell me that they ain't what? The white man got their foot on their neck? Come on now. They're headed for a new grave or a new pen.
I think that would sincerely change when I say they, I mean mainstream middle class white people would leave us alone. That would change.
If you knew, do you know what would happen if they were to leave us alone, Alex? You really want to know what would happen? I'm going to take my break. Let me tell you what would happen.
We would thrive. We would thrive.
No,
that's
we wouldn't.
Would
Alex, if they were to leave us alone to our own devices,
uh-huh.
we would sell each other just like they do over in Africa.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe that.
Yes.
We're almost doing it now.
No,
you can't tell me Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson ain't selling us to the highest bidder.
There you go.
But this is the point, though. You know Al Sharpton isn't working for us. He's working
but we don't,
for
But they
him.
Don't know it.
He's being manipulated.
Alex, look at
us.
All the people. Look at all the people out there who have been white and black, rich and poor, who are being manipulated by the system. Look at this. Al Sharpton's going to come in there and he gonna say that he's working for us, but he's working for them and mobilize
right.
us to do what we want to do. So we will there will always be somebody there to manipulate us. They will never leave
okay.
everybody alone. They don't leave white people alone. But the question is, we do not have to go to prison, we do not have to go to the grave, and we do not have to be undereducated and as we are as like a business. We need to have our own industry. We need to support our own. We need to stand on our own 2 feet and quit waiting for the white man to come give us something. We need to go get it.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I don't subscribe to those kind of politics of waiting for letting the government do anything for me or whatever. But I just think that you can't just tell people that all they have to do is just go get it. I mean, they have to have some consciousness of what's waiting for them when they go try. That's all I'm saying. That you have to prepare them for that. Otherwise, you're going to disarm them, and then they're going to end up, you know, worse off than where they started, and resentful because they spent all this effort only to be, you know. I know plenty of people like that. You know, I know men, brilliant men with I know a guy with an MD and a PhD and an MBA, but you know, they don't want him to do better than them. And so they do everything in their power to stifle his progress, you know. And so it's, you see this all the time. So it's, we have to be, you can't just tell people to go out and work for it. You have to prepare them to be conscious of what's going to be waiting for them.
Hey, Alex, can I tell you a little secret?
Yes,
I've been self-employed for the last 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And every time I start to get a little bit out there too far, there are some other big ones that like to just really knock me down, discredit my work, me, challenge, undercut me with a price. It's called capitalism. I mean, you just have to grow smarter. You have to just work and grow smarter. It just happens. It's called business. If you were selling cars, I can guarantee you a car lot would be moving right next door to you. It wouldn't matter. they'd be doing business and trying to cut you down. Restaurants, grocery stores. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's called business.
Yeah, no, well, I'm not talking about general capitalism, though. Yeah, I agree with you. That's good. Competition is good for, but that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking
Alex, we leave our own. I gotta take my break, and I've got some guests in the studio. So we leave our own. So yeah, you know, it's not going to be a perfect world, but right now, when I tell people that they're free, they got to live like they're free. They got to walk like they're free, and they got to take advantage of the opportunities like they're free, and not be limited by people telling them that they're not free. Free people go to work. Free people stand on their own two feet. Free people do what they have to do. Free people don't wait on somebody to go and give them a welfare check, give them a job, give them public assistance. They go get theirs, and they demand it. Uh-huh. That's what free people do. Right now, people in America aren't free. We're waiting on somebody to take care of us. We're waiting on unemployment. We're waiting on something to give me something. We go stand in line for hours to get free food instead of standing in hours to go get a job.
You'll get free information on Alzheimer's care.
And we've got to do better. I've got to take a break. I'll see you on the other side.
Live tomorrow. Give me food. And then give me better books. So I can read about myself and gain my true look. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. Some of us try as hard as we can. We don't want no sympathy.
Decades. And while a majority also opposes new state laws making it more difficult for abortion clinics to operate, there's an ambivalence about when abortions should be allowed. 56% say not after 20 weeks of pregnancy, just like some of those new state laws.
ABC Scott Goldberg. O.J. Simpson went before a Nevada parole panel today, but even a favorable decision wouldn't spring the former football star from prison after his 2008 kidnapping and robbery convictions. Simpson was sentenced consecutively on several convictions, and that means that he would still have more time to serve. I'm Darielle Albinger, ABC News.
Try the new Subway $4 lunch. It's for everyone, for any time. Choose from tons of 6-inch subs like the Black Forest ham and the egg and cheese, plus a 21-ounce drink, just $4. Lunchtime, anytime. It's the new Subway $4 lunch.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. This summer, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer brings you thrilling adventure and heroic performance. Stop in to find blockbuster deals on vehicles like Ford Focus. Visit driveoneohio.com.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll get it myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll get it myself.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to James Brown. And the number is 347-945-5229. I have Rhonda Haynes and Annette Dendy from Dandridge Burgundy Manor, which is a skilled nursing facility on the east side of Youngstown over in the Lincoln Oles area. And they come in once a month to talk about elder care, senior care, long-term care, skilled nursing, and how to plan and prepare for it. So those of you, you know, we're done for the day talking about fiery stuff. They'll be here until we close. But if you have any questions and you want to chime in on this, we would love to have that. Tomorrow's open mic with Jeff and I, and we'll be back to continue discussion on anywhere you want to go, and we can pick this up again, because I still believe you can do what you want to do as long as you just go get it, because we've come too far. And right now we're depending on other people to help us, and that's just not the way to go, because it's just not working. So I'll do that tomorrow. But James Brown says, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door and I'll get it myself. That's all I need. Just give me opportunity and give me instruction and point me in the right direction, and I'll go pick up my own $1 million. But they are from like I said, Dandridge Burgundy Manor. It is a skilled nursing facility and rehab. And we're going to talk about long-term care. Those of us who are in our 30s and 40s, we tend to think we're just like our teenagers. We don't think we think we're invincible, but that we're never going to get old and we're never going to need long-term care. And people that do not plan for long-term care, they find out when they need it, they should have planned for it a long time ago. And the older you are in getting long-term care, the worse off you are when you go to get it. And so, what do you ladies, how are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am good. Hello, Miss Dendy.
Hello.
What's going on, lady? Oh, I'm sorry.
Enjoying the beautiful Youngstown weather today.
It is
a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is. It really, really is. Sorry about that, guys, with all the noise, but I didn't turn the mic down.
It's okay. It's your show.
No, some things are not okay.
It's
you
okay.
You know, we got ghetto radio.
No, we don't have. But there's nothing wrong with being ghetto. If you look at it as being...
It's a positive thing.
It is a positive thing, as if you look at it as being getting high enough to take over. So ghetto ain't bad if you look at it like that.
Okay, but ghetto's not bad.
Mm-mm.
So tell us a little bit about long-term care. Tell us what we need to know. Well, first, there's going to be an event going on over there, so we can do that a couple times.
Yes. Saturday, August 10th, Dandridge Burgundy Manor is co-hosting a community day for the Lincoln Knowles area, but you don't have to live in Lincoln Knowles to come out and enjoy the day with us. We are co-hosting it with a program called We Can Move Too. And anyone who's been around Dandridge Burgundy Manor on Maranatha, they are building a new playground for the neighborhood. They have put in the basketball courts. It's beautiful. They plan on finishing up a beautiful park for the neighborhood, which is right next door to us. So there will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony, bounce around for kids, food, games, bingo games, DJ, dancing, just a whole lot of fun.
And it's free to the...
It's free. It's totally free.
And what day is that?
That's Saturday, August 10th from 2 to 7.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so come out.
And you guys have done something similar to this every year.
Yes, but this year we're co-hosted it with We Can Move Too.
Okay, We Can Move.
Yes. It is, you know, they really look at children and even, you know, older adults of all levels. It's designed to even be accessible for children and individuals with disabilities. So that's kind of, you know, that everyone can move, that even children in a wheelchair, they have wheelchair accessible activities at the park. So I think it's a really good addition to the neighborhood.
And when you look at, let me say this, let me ask this way, healthy and fit makes for not having to get to long-term care as quickly.
Absolutely.
And having a fabulous life, yes.
Do most people have to deal with long-term care?
I do believe, you know, I don't know any families that it has not touched in some way. You know, recently, and usually this time of year, there's a lot of issues that may come about that forces a family to really make some tough decisions of whether or not they can continue to care for their loved one in the home and what's the best situation for them. Recently, you know, that's been an issue, and you try to keep your loved one in a home, but sometimes families struggle with, is this the best place for them? And a lot of times it's not the best place. Sometimes someone may need 24-hour care, and it's a lot of stress on the family to try to maintain that in the home.
Because when I, you know, people, I mean, there are some people, and, I mean, your kids are great. And sometimes people are not as honest about their children as they should be. And they don't plan for extended stay, long-term care. And most people don't have the luxury too often, unless you're extremely wealthy,
yes,
to be able to extend, to have care. If you're going to have longevity of life,
yes,
it just doesn't.
And we're living a lot older.
Yeah,
than
I mean,
we
you,
once lived
90 some years old, and you got a house, and you got, you know, stairs in your home, you know, diaper care,
exactly,
adult diaper care.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that goes on.
And the reality of Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
Sometimes
senility.
You are able to get around and still do for yourself, but you have no recollection of where you're going, safety issues.
Yes.
And that's hard to try to maintain in a home.
Because when I look at, you know, I have an uncle, and, you know, he's 90. And, you know, some days he's good. Some days he's talking to his parents. And he can't take care of himself. And because of his health and him being so strong,
mm-hmm,
he couldn't come and live with me because I could not control him.
Yes.
When I'm gone.
Right.
You know, young people are working. And so how do we prepare? How do we plan? What do we do?
Well, I think the first thing, and I just want to
mention, pull your mic over for me, so because you talk a little soft. Yeah, get over there.
I just want to mention this as well. I don't want to give the impression that skilled nursing care and long-term care is only for the elderly. We have several younger patients. We have some patients in their 40s. You know, many different scenarios can land you in a nursing home or needing skilled care. I always tell my staff that we are all one car accident away from needing nursing home care. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's not just for the elderly. But I do believe, you know, people should know what to look for when they go find a facility, and that's some of what I wanted to talk about. You know, there's things you should know when you're looking to make a more educated decision and to see what's really up under the covers, because we all want to put our best foot forward when we're given a tour and we have, you know, you scheduled to come in and see the place. I tell you that it's probably better to go visit unannounced, and, you know, I just wanted to share some things to look for.
Okay, so tell me, what do you mean coming in unannounced? Just stop in and say, hi, my name is Tracy, I want to take a tour?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's what you want to do. It's like a surprise visit, because I'm pretty sure each time you come to visit your loved one, you will not call us and tell us that you are coming to visit your loved one. So we need to be ready in season and out of season. We need to be prepared at all times. So, yeah, you stop on by.
Think about it, Tracy. Saturday afternoon, your day off, if someone just knocks on your door.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that's when you really see what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. You'll catch me off guard. Oh, absolutely. You'll get a surprise.
They usually say a good time to visit if you really want to see what's going on. And I'm sharing this. I probably shouldn't be, but usually the best time is probably on the weekends during dinner time, about 6 p.m. You really see the realities of how that facility operates. a lot of times on the weekend the administrative staff is not there like myself, and you really get to see what's going on.
Yeah, when the mice are gone.
Absolutely. You know, you pay attention to things like noise levels. Is the facility loud?
Is it clean?
Does it smell?
Oh, yeah. You always got to test.
I went into one, and I want y'all to know. I told him, you can stay here as long as you want, but I won't be back. Mm-hmm. I can't hang.
That's right, because your home doesn't smell like that, so your facility shouldn't smell like that.
What causes that? I mean, is it just people not cleaning themselves or not taking care of the patients?
I'll say this to be fair.
To be fair. I mean, sometimes you can't get away
from
it.
You know, we've all had an experience of changing diapers, and during that moment in time, a lot of times, it's going to smell. So, you know, I will say there are times when there are changes going on and it might cause a smell, but it should not.
Not the whole building.
Exactly. It should not cause the whole building to smell.
And
it shouldn't linger. And I don't allow soiled garments to remain in the halls. So, you know, that's something you really do have to look for, you know, smell around. Because it shows that maybe they're not getting checked and changed like they should.
What about staffing? Because I know that, you know, there are some people, you know, staffing is hard in a facility.
Absolutely.
And getting good staff to do the job, but then some people just understaff.
Yes.
And so you have people in there for rehab that aren't supposed to be—they're not supposed to be walking around by themselves, and they walking crazy because they got the name, and people just don't show up.
Yes, I will say staffing is one of the most important issues because you need people actually in the facility to care for your loved one. You know, the guidelines that the state and the federal government has put is a ratio of 1:15. And, you know, but you think about one person caring for 15 individuals who needs extensive care.
How many? One person?
1 to 15. That is what we're allowed to do. But I will tell you that we try to usually operate 1 to 10. And we have a lot of staff that helps out. So staffing is very important. And
wow.
Yeah.
And that's also in the hospitals as well, the staffing. I guess it's a consideration in the hospital and in long term, but as Rhonda was saying, we do staff better than that.
Yeah. Maybe during the night, you know, 1 to 15 is not so bad, people are sleeping, but during the hours of prominent care, I do believe that you would want at least 1 to 10, 1 to 11, 1 to 12. It's not an easy job, and I always tell my staff, I tip my hat to them. It takes a special person and a special calling to be in a nurse's assistant, but they are the ones who put their hands on the resident and makes the most impact, I believe.
And so now, what about nursing?
Yes.
Because you said we're talking about AIDS right there.
I mean, you can have a nurse responsible for 30 or more patients by themselves.
Ooh.
You could. Can't.
That's a lot of people.
It really is. A lot of beds to pass, a lot of blood sugars to check. You know, it's a lot to keep track of.
Wow.
But we do have different nurses. Like we have a wound nurse or a nurse that does the treatment. So it's broke down pretty fairly for the most part.
Now, I have to ask you guys a question.
Yes.
Laundry.
Yes.
And people's personal items.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, how do you care? How do you tend? If I can't care for my own personal or my own loved one's personal items, my grandma and ma and nana and all that kind of stuff, and you guys take care of the personal items, what do I have to do to secure that their items will come back to them? Because sometimes I've been, and I'm telling you guys from experience, and listen, 412, your mic is on. If anybody wants to call, just press the one button, and I'll gladly pull you up.
Yeah, share your experience.
Yeah, I had that opportunity to, and it... You know, I go to Walmart and pick up some stuff from, you know, from my dad and all that stuff and run up the street and get him all. Because, you know, when they come out the hospital, a lot of times they've lost weight. So you've had to go out and buy them new clothes because they can't get in the clothes. They won't be putting on a three-piece suit anymore.
Mm-hmm. Inappropriate for rehab.
That's
you want
right.
them to move around.
You want them to get on and off and you want them to be comfortable. So you go out and buy the clothes for them. And you got to have multiples because, you know, they sold them because, you know, they're not as mobile as they used to be. And you go back to find your clothes, and it's like, hey, Pop, where are your clothes at? I don't know. They put it in the drawer. So also labeling them?
We label them, and we also have an inventory that the family checks off the inventory with the environmental supervisor. So they are inventory.
But not everyone does it. I ain't never went through no inventory with no environmental supervisor. I wasn't over at Dandridge.
Well, but you wasn't at Dandridge,
but
absolutely.
That's how
we do it over at Dandridge.
I'm just saying overall general care. I wasn't at Dandridge. I was just, you know.
Right.
So what?
I'll say again to be fair, I'm a realist, and I do know that it is hard to keep track of clothing for an entire facility. I know
it's
that things get
be.
Soiled.
Boardman frame
them.
House.
So I'm sorry.
And so, you know, it happens. But the thing is, I can speak for myself. You know, clothes should be replaced by the facility if something does go missing. It does happen. And we know at home you send two socks in the laundry
and
come out with
one. That's true. There is definitely
so
a sock.
So think of that on a larger scale. But we do accommodate people, replace their clothing. That's why we do an inventory list. We want people to have what they came in.
So when you go to check into, if you're not coming over to Dandridge, you should ask people, do you have an inventory list?
Absolutely.
For what they bring in, what they take out. That includes, because a lot of people have their televisions and they have their own chairs and they have their own
kind
of stuff. They should actually have an inventory of what they've taken in and have it signed off on both by the supervisor when they go, or the intake.
Mm-hmm. Or, so when they come in and when they leave, they also do an inventory and make sure that you leave with what you came in.
Okay. What else? I mean, because those
are two other important.
I never knew that. They didn't tell me that. And we came out with one sock and one shoe and half a pair of slacks.
Another thing I want to bring up, if you think about it, what do we enjoy most in life? Activities and food.
Yeah.
And I do believe that is one of the two most important things outside of the care that a person looks forward to. I mean, I think most of us work a hard day's work. I mean, you know, work week, and on weekends we look for something fun to do and maybe a nice restaurant to go to. So I say check the activity calendars when you go in these facilities. See if the residents are sitting around looking bored. Are they doing something fun? Because that's their home, and you don't want your loved one to be sitting there bored. And the same thing with the food. Ask to taste the food. Any facility should be open to having a guest try a tray of food so you can have the experience of what it tastes like.
Since you brought food up, because I know that, you know, when you go in, we don't realize that when you have a nursing facility, it's not going to be home.
No.
I ate ribs from Royal Oak today. You're not going to get barbecue ribs in a nursing home once a week.
No, you're not.
You'll be doing good if you get them once a year, twice a year.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get them once a week just because you have a healthy, maintained diet.
Exactly.
I know, and I have to say this, you should check out their menu because there are some locations, these ladies come on here, and they're from Vantage Burgundy Manor, not just to sell their place, but to give you information on extended care because we're all dealing with elderly parents.
And no matter where you take your loved one, whether it's with us or not, we're in this business because we care.
Yeah.
So we just want everybody to be educated.
And people need to understand that there are facilities out there, and you'd be surprised the sandwiches, how many ways you can get a sandwich when you have loved ones because they're cutting costs inside the kitchen. I'm just saying that out loud. I've watched it happen. Everything comes on a bun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to mix it up with some croissants. And, you know, you need a few little things to change it up sometimes.
But you need to know.
You need to know.
How about, can you expand on assisted living a little bit? Because I know that you guys don't have a facility.
No, we don't have assisted living. However, you know, assisted living usually is the point between living in your home and having to go into a nursing home care for 24-hour care.
What is that?
It's you're able to do a lot of things for yourself, a lot of your self-care. You just need some assistance. You may need
to call it assisted living.
Yes, you might need some assisting with meals. You're no longer cooking, but you can stay in your own apartment. But you need to go to open dining to make sure that you get your meals every day because you're no longer safe to cook. Or it may be, you know, for the most part, you can get around your home and do what you need to do, but you need assistance with laundry. And
meds.
And meds, absolutely. So those are the things that assisted living will assist with. They won't take You know, they don't use Hoyer lifts if you aren't able to get up and move around.
Okay.
Or
you have to have be mobile.
Yes, you can be mobile in a wheelchair, but you do have to be able to
function.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask that because a lot of people don't know the difference between assisted living and skilled and long-term care or skilled nursing facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the difference between the two, and when does your loved one need to look at long-term care?
Usually if you're in assisted living and you take a spill or you fall, next step is long-term.
Or at least rehab. Rehab is short-term. We usually try to get you back to your previous level of
mm-hmm.
functioning. Say, for instance, you came from assisted living or your home, you did take a fall, busted your knee.
Okay.
And this, like I said, is not just for the elderly. Any of us could go out and need a knee replacement. But then you just come for short-term, and our goal is to get you back where you was before that incident happened. So, but long-term care is usually when you can no longer be maintained in the community or in the home of a loved one, that you really need 24-hour care and assistance and supervision. But there are options, and I just want to mention this as well because I have a sister who is mentally ill and she lives in assisted living. Again, I'm saying this because it's not always about the elderly.
That's true.
Many individuals need assistance.
MS patients.
Absolutely.
People who have progressive MS.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. After a while, they can't. Their parent no longer can have care.
Yes.
You need to. I think we spoke about this last month. You need to go out and visit before you need the visit.
Exactly.
Because when you go in the hospital and you are in a rush to find a place because the social worker shows up and says, "Where do you want to send your parent?" Even after your knee replacement, after your hip replacement, after your elbow move, after all that, and you have to go into rehab, you need to go and take a look at the facility way before you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go and start visiting them on your own and tell your children or your loved one or whomever's caring for your husband, this is where we want to go.
I want to put this out there as well, and this is a point for a possible consumer. Do not let discharge planners at the hospital rush you. They do rush you because they get a flat rate, and the quicker you get out the hospital. But I say don't let them rush you. If you have not been able to find a facility that you like within 2 days, then you need to keep looking, and you need to alert the hospital. I have not found what I'm looking for or what I would prefer for my loved one, and they have to allow you that time to look. But they will rush and say you only have 48 hours to find a facility. And
you got to go to work that afternoon.
Exactly.
And come back and visit tomorrow night.
Yeah, and they'll usually give you a list with a whole bunch of different facilities on it, and a lot of times they try and tell you
they got a recommendation for you. They got the top recommendation for you.
Like you say, always go and visit the facility so that you would be able to sleep at night knowing that they'll be taken care of. Absolutely.
I'm telling y'all now, go ahead of time. Go when you one Saturday or one Sunday or one afternoon when you ain't got nothing to do, you just don't feel like staying home, and you know, just go and pop in your head and say, "Listen, I'd like to see your facility," because when you need it, you can find yourself in a bad place.
Yes.
A bad place, and you won't. It'll look clean. The foyer and their intake will be fabulous. They got fireplaces, and they got hardwood floors and expensive furniture, and it looked like, man, no, going to be good. And you get in there. I'm telling you from experience. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I took my mom into a facility, and I had to bring her lunch and dinner every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Can you imagine having to put somebody inside of a facility? And I'm not calling no names, and it was not the people I'm talking in front of. It was one of them other places way out. They couldn't make a piece of toast. She said, "Can you get me a piece of toast?" I don't know. They messed up the peanut butter jelly sandwich. The question is, how in the world do you mess up peanut butter and jelly?
My 10-year-old can make a good peanut butter and jelly.
Wait a minute. You can make peanut butter and jelly from bad jelly and bad peanut butter.
Yes,
they messed. It was bad. And I want people to know this, and this is why I asked them, not because they're one of our sponsors, but because I don't want anyone, I would not wish this on my worst enemy putting your loved one in a position that they can't be cared for.
Exactly. Right.
Because the stress that comes upon you, you're already dealing with them not wanting to be where they are.
That's right.
And the guilt of having to make that decision.
Absolutely. And then you put them somewhere and it's not cute.
You won't be able to sleep at night, and I think that's the whole purpose of having that as an option. You want to be able to go home and sleep at night and know that your loved one is being cared for. I also would say I suggest going in at, you know,
midnight.
Absolutely. We do have preferred visiting hours, but we are open facility. You can come 24/7 to see what's going on with your loved one.
And it is, and I have to say, I am biased to the nursing facility that I'm that Dandridge Burgundy Manor. I am at the Legacy Health facility.
Yes.
I have been there doing Bible studies, I think, for about 4 or 5 years now.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes.
I've transitioned through new owners, new staff, new administrators, new people, new life. I've been there for a while.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure. Everywhere is difficult.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with people.
Right.
But I have to say, if you want to take a look, go out to the east side of Youngstown. It is in a safe environment. You guys have not had any problems. You guys have generators. I live around the corner, and when the lights go out, they got lights.
Yeah, I know, because you can come on and hang out.
I can come hang out with them.
Right.
They got lights when the lights go out. They
have to, yeah.
And they are running. It's not, because some people have to, but when it happens, they know that it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't fixed it.
No. Right. We have that.
They have a... It is a home that, you know, if I had to deal with a home, I wouldn't want to be outside of a home, but if I had to go there, I could do that.
Yeah, and we like to have fun, a good time. We want to make it like a home environment. We don't want it to seem institutional.
Yeah, they don't make the patients do what they don't want to do.
Right.
And let me say this, and then I'm going to take my break. When you put your parent and your loved one into a skilled nursing facility, you need to be open and honest with the intake and the administration.
That's right.
About what you want.
That's right.
If you don't communicate what your parents' needs are so that they can document it and get, they're not going to know your parent. And your parent may or may not express to them what they want.
Or can't.
And you need to say, well, listen, you know, she likes to have a light in her room at night. Or
she likes the nails done.
Yeah.
She likes to go to the beauty shop. Just little things.
I mean, you know, this is what happens when she, you know, she's this kind of person when she goes into the bathroom.
Right. Yep.
You need to know that, and you need to chart that. You need to tell them who that person is.
Because if your dad worked third shift for the last 30 years.
That's correct.
You can't put him in a facility and expect them to sleep all night.
Because it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Even if he hasn't worked for 30 years.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
you have
right.
to accommodate the resident.
Right. And you need, and if he can't change the channel but he likes sports.
There you go.
Then you know to make sure that the aide knows to put it on ESPN and leave it there.
Yeah.
Right. But you have to communicate with the facility so that there is a smooth transition and for your loved one so that you can deal with it. Because if you don't tell them, they won't know, and they will treat them as though however they think.
Just another person.
And also, you need to go and visit them.
Yes.
You just don't drop them off and say, hey, I'll visit you on Mother's Day, Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving.
I would say that's the number one most important thing to do.
You need to go and visit them, go check on them, go talk to them, sit in there 15, 20 minutes. You don't stay all day.
Take them out for a little while. Bring them back. Take them out for a little while. They enjoy that.
Listen, when I come back, I'm going to ask you guys about visiting and taking them out, and if, you know, because I need to know about that. Can I go and take them home for the afternoon and bring them back?
Yes.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited.
Nothing is set in stone. The Mahoning Valley's unemployment rate went up last month, reaching 8.2%. On a brighter note, a new jobs report shows the civilian labor force is growing compared to last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
WSOM or 347-945-5229.
Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
We're back, and you listen to Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. We won't even repeat that. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm going to take your phone from you in a minute. You're listening to Tracy and friends. The number is 347-945-5229. 482, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. It's just Bonnie. I called back because my phone was dying, and I'm just listening to your show. And I've had the experiences that you're telling, giving great advice, because I didn't have the knowledge prior
to,
and I had this very similar situation happen.
And it is tough, isn't it?
It's very, oh.
It is a nightmare.
Pain, I there are some days, and even the same day, you know, the day that I remember needing to place my mom there, the pain I can still feel when that day comes.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very hard. Very hard.
It is. And
is your mom,
and, you know,
okay? Because you said you just
my
had
mom,
that happen.
My mom is good. My mom was in a rehab, and when she had what they call a spinal fusion a couple years ago, and she had to go into rehab for three weeks to a month.
Well, you know, this the,
and I
would have host-
and I would have put her into I would have put her into Dandridge, but her insurance was not accepted at the time, and so I had to find another facility, and I had to find another facility on the fly.
Well,
and I put her out into,
Place.
Oh, man, I put her out in the middle of nowhere, and boy, was it bad. Oh, and it
was
so far from the house.
Was she transferred from San Elizabeth?
She was transferred from Northside.
Northside.
Yeah, Northside.
Not very far away, no.
No, but we went all the way out to Austintown. And I live on the east side of Youngstown because I was planning, I don't care where I put you, how far it is, as long as she's going to get good quality of care. I don't mind traveling to see her for good quality of care. I do mind having to travel to see her three times a day because you're not going to care for her when I'm not there.
Well, I'm not sick, but I wouldn't mind going. This place sounds like a place where I could get a couple days of rest.
Well, we do,
I mean,
do
really
take
fun.
Respite, Bonnie, we are the best kept secret on the east side, and a lot of people do not know. Right, a lot of people do not know that we are there, but we are, and we would love for you to come out unexpectedly and take a tour.
We don't. We're not located on a main street. We are in the middle of a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood setting. It's very peaceful and serene.
Actually, they live within walking distance of my house. I can walk over there if I'm not lazy. And I'm talking about not a long walk. I've got less than a mile.
Well, do you take people with mental illness? I mean, like disabilities, how severe? How severe, like in autism and things like that. Do you take young people that are, you know, just kind of hard to place because they're not comfortable just anywhere?
Absolutely. We do take people, individuals with mental health issues. You know, I think for us, we kind of draw the line if the person would be a little bit violent or combative.
Sometimes
they need more restrictive setting, but we take all kinds.
Are you guys gonna pick? Do you guys have an Alzheimer and or a dementia unit yet?
There was once one.
What?
You know, Annette says it's best about.
I always say that we're blessed to have our administrator because she always feels that if you're locked up in your mind with dementia, the worst thing to do is to be locked up in a room and you can't get out. That's like being locked up twice.
So I took down the door.
So.
I want them to be able to walk through the facility. We do have a WonderGuard system.
But you have a WonderGuard system.
In place,
which is
right.
What? Oh, tell us a little bit about the WonderGuard system. What is that?
It's designed for individuals who are exit-seeking or maybe have Alzheimer's, dementia, and push on doors and not sure where they're going. It's a little unit that can be put on
their ankle.
It's like an ankle bracelet, and it's triggered by the door. If an individual with the monitor on goes to the door immediately locks and sounds an alarm. So So it's not for everyone, but it is for individuals with Alzheimer's, dementia, who's exit-seeking to keep them in the facility. But I still want those people to have free reign of the facility. I don't want them to feel like they have to be locked on a hall. So
that's
we took
good.
That away.
That's good. Because I can't imagine that would be rough to be locked up in a certain closed area just because your mind is not
absolutely
completely there.
It's not fair.
Let me ask this. Can I take my mom or my aunt? Can anybody just walk out? So say that my aunt is in your facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take her to this mall. Can she just go?
You have to sign her out.
Yeah, you would have to sign out. Anybody can't just come take out people. We believe in security.
Security? What is the procedure of taking someone out? I mean, do you have to be on a list, or can they just walk out, or it depends on the family?
It depends on the family, depends on the person. If they're their own person, then they could sign themselves out.
Their own guardian?
Yeah, if they don't have a guardian, they could sign themselves out.
Okay.
We have a handsome young man who goes in and out, and, he's his own person. He is confined to a wheelchair, but he'll go around the corner and go to McDonald's, get him a shake, and come back, and he just signs out. We do have doctor's orders that say when people can go and come. And he goes out and enjoys the weather and come on back, so...
What about physicians? How do we get? Do we go when I take my loved one and put them into a skilled nursing facility? How do they do their doctor visits? How do they do their eyes, ears, nose, and throat, and EMT and all that?
Well, we have
and all that. Do they come in or do they go
out?
Yes,
we have a medical director there, and then we also provide all those auxiliary services: the dentist, the ear doctor, the eye doctor, X-ray therapy.
And it can be in or out. If you prefer to go out, we will accommodate that. Say, for instance, you had a particular dentist you went to for 20 years. We provide it in-house, but you certainly can go outpatient and go to your normal dentist.
Okay.
And I want to give a shout-out to our medical director, who is Dr. Tolliver.
Okay.
James Tolliver. He's been with us for a long time, and we do have other physicians on staff, so he's not the only doctor there, but he is the medical director. They know him as St. Elizabeth, but, he's a great guy, great doctor.
Dr. James Tolliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's been on here a couple times.
Oh.
We get to spar politically every now and then.
Oh, good.
Hey, Bonnie, your mic is still on.
I'm just listening. I was going to ask if Tracy, I have an autistic grandson, and I always say if I go to a nursing home, I got to take him with me.
Yeah.
Do you? I mean... Is that possible
share a room
for
with
family
him.
To do that? When I get too old to care for him, what do?
Yes, if it shows that he also or your grandson. Could qualify for having long-term care, needing that type of assistance, then you can definitely go into a facility together. You could share a room. We have a couple there right now. There is a husband and wife who decided they wanted to be in a room together. They're there. I mean,
kind of like the Notebook. The story of the Notebook.
Yes, like the Notebook. Yes. We want to make it like home, and if that was to happen, yes, you can have.
Because that's a fear of mine.
That's a fear of everyone, I think.
I never thought about
that.
Like Tracy, what happens when you get sick? Who's going to take care of your mom? I mean, same situation.
No, because I'm not going nowhere. MS is not, I'm done. I'm healed. I forget that.
Amen.
But
but it's not going to happen. But if that's the case, but I know where I'm going.
Listen to this, Bonnie. I have a...
And I'm not sharing a room with my mother.
I have a grandmother down in Oroville, Alabama. She's 103 years old, still living in her home.
Wow.
We're seeing now if she possibly needs to go in a nursing home. At the very same time, she has a granddaughter who gave birth to a child about 3 months ago, lupus complications.
Wow.
The child is fine, and she has been in a coma for some months.
Yeah.
So realistically, I can have my 103-year-old grandmother in a facility with my cousin who's not even 30.
Wow.
It can happen.
And it does happen. It does happen. When you go into a facility, you'd be surprised how many young people you see who cannot function at home by themselves.
Oh, the referrals that I get now with the young people. So age is definitely not just for the elderly at all. I think the elderly are staying out longer.
I think in some instances they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bonnie, you might want to, you know, plan for that, have a living will, or just have it where, you know, if anything were to happen, that you would want your grandson to possibly go with you.
And let me say,
you know,
this. It is important to have a living will.
Like holidays, you know, when you have a special person that you care for, you know, whether it's your parents or one of your children or grandchildren, or in your case, like the niece, you know, and cousin. You know, when you care about these people and something happens, you know, and what about holidays, you know? After you're gone, will they have a good quality of life where they'll have joy, you know, or compassion, where somebody will,
and that's where they,
you know, cook them a birthday cake, you know, make them a birthday cake, have pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving, you know, decorate a little tree, you know.
Oh,
allow
we take our holidays, we go above and beyond this. Sometimes we just have a just because party, because it is their home, and they need to be orientated to whatever season or holiday that there is. And when it's their birthday, you know, we recognize that as well. Because, as we were saying, you know, it's a nursing home, not a funeral home. And some people come to live for a short time, and some people be there for the rest of their life, and we just want to make it as comfortable as we can.
And I also wanted to mention, Abani, I'm not sure of your specific situation, but I did want to put it out there. I do know individuals who's caring for, you know, maybe a loved one with, like you said, autism, and they're fine, but, you know, the caregiver wants to take holiday, and they want to go away for a while and cannot necessarily take the person they're caring for. Nursing facilities do provide respite care. So if you wanted to go away for a week or a weekend and just could not take your loved one, we do provide, and most facilities do provide respite care, where they kind of go and stay while you are
on vacation or take a break.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to do that for your own health.
Yes.
Because a lot of times in dealing with being a caretaker, you tend to give so much care that you forget to care for yourself.
Exactly.
And then you end up in a place where you don't want to end up, and they still need your care, and you can't care for them.
Yeah.
And we've seen
right.
a lot of times. Yeah, what'd you say?
I said that is right. That's exactly what I feel
true.
Has happened to me over the last 2 years. Yeah, I did.
And you need they need a place to go and they can have fun and be enjoy life for a couple of weeks.
And
give you and you can take a vacation and take a break, because if you're taking them everywhere you go, and if they are 24-hour care, you are with them 24-hour care, and you need some respite. You need some rest. You need some time to go and just read a book. And even if you don't go anywhere, just stay home.
Yes. Sometimes that's the best vacation.
I mean, yeah, vacations will cause you problems. You'd be working harder than you ever thought you would. But it is important when and that you and you find skilled nursing facilities that will give you respite care.
Yes.
Well, you know, Tracy, you're my respite care. When I call you without my door knocking and the kids talking behind me in the background, which probably some people can hear on the radio, my life is crazy. But, you know, Tracy has been my friend. She, you know, we communicate and I don't have to leave home. You know, I can.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's also there every Thursday. She's
on
with Chaplin, so if you decide you want a place.
You know?
It sounds like you are a wonderful caregiver.
Yes, she
is.
Bonnie's
awesome.
You'll
be blessed for that.
Really,
Bonnie's awesome. Listen, they're going to be having before I go, because we're close to the end of the day, the Dandridge-Burgundy Manor, they're going to be having a carnival?
Community Day.
Our third, but we're in conjunction with We Can Move To. And actually, if you get a chance, you should bring your grandson out to enjoy the festivities that will be going on. Everything will be free. It's Saturday, August the 10th, between the hours of 2 and 7.
So, Bonnie, you're getting a special invitation. You can ask
I
for
know,
Rhonda.
And I'm people are going to get envious of me. They're going to think I have some kind
of... You have to call in, Bonnie. You are
no,
a special friend.
You all are welcome. Come on out. It's from...
2 to 7.
2 to 7. It's located...
They're 31 Maranatha Drive in...
Youngstown, Ohio.
In the Lincoln Knowles community.
And it is, if you want to know the location of it, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza and or the Four Seasons Flea Market.
Yes.
right between Save-A-Lot, right there on Jacobs Road. If you go down Jacobs Road and you go to Maranatha, you make a left. It's about a quarter of a mile down the road. Make a left, you'll see it over, and it's about 100 yards in. You'll see it over on the left-hand side. And it's a beautiful, it's a residential-looking building. It doesn't look like a quote-unquote tower.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, and you'll see the balloons and the tents and the people and the music, and you'll see everybody outside.
So come on out,
everybody
Youngstown.
Is welcome.
Absolutely. And a shout-out to Darren's Burgundy Manor staff, the best staff.
Are they listening?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
wow.
Cindy, Ariel, I don't know.
Hi, guys. It is one of the nicest facilities, one of the homeliest facilities I have been in. And I go visit. I go visit mm-hmm. other nursing facilities. I have family, friends, relatives that are in the facility. And I don't bring anyone on here that I would not put my parents in. And I'm not going to tell you that everything is hunky-dory. It's a skilled nursing facility that you have to be active in for your parents.
Because things happen, yes.
For your parents, you've got to be there, they've got to be there. It's a two-way street.
Yep.
You don't drop them off. It's like school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop your kids off at school and don't go back to pick them up.
Well, but it's been done.
Often.
I know.
You just don't do that. You just don't drop them off and say, okay, nana, everybody's there. Oh, yeah, papa, everybody's good right there. And you only come three times a year for a prom, for the walk-in, and for the football game.
Yes.
Homecoming. You've got to be an interactive participant in the health care of your loved one.
Yes.
If you want good quality of health. And it's more than just sitting there and looking up. You need to talk to them. Because you are there. They're just there to assist you in their care. Remember, you've been with them, and they've been on your nerves longer than they know the people that are the age and all that. I can say it out loud. Y'all can't say it. I can say it because it's true.
And not only that, we do, you know, want to care for them like they are our family members.
But you got to tell me.
You know, I'll do better than that. We'll show you. I will show you.
You guys, they do good. They are remarkable over there. They have a lot of fun with their patients and with their clients there. They really, really do. And everybody tends to be happy there.
Yes.
Now, let me ask this. I got to ask, do you guys allow smoking?
We do have smoking, and it is really driving me crazy about now. But we do allow smoking. A lot of facilities are becoming non-smoking. You know, but we realize for some that is one of their vices.
That's all they do.
And we do provide smoking times. We do have a gazebo where they can go out in the fresh air and enjoy the smoke. We have smoking times. We just got to make sure it's safe. You know, you can't have any lighters or paraphernalia. So we do provide smoking
for
the smokers.
I knew that, but I wanted to get that out because I would that everyone would quit. I would, but they don't.
And you can even have a drink in a nursing home. Don't let people tell you can't even have alcohol. If your doctor says it's not interfering with your medication.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
And it's no problem. Absolutely. It is your right to enjoy a cocktail because I would like to think I might have one every evening if I'm in a nursing home.
And that's okay because.
I have a wine cooler in my room.
Right.
Yes.
We don't have an open bar, but yeah, you can get a drink every now and then.
Are y'all serious?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. See, I got a clown for
that's
a
while. Why everybody happy. No.
Hey, listen, we're at the end of the day. Tomorrow's Friday. It's open mic. Jeff and I will be here. Want to see you here with us. I will bring up all the conversations and rehash everything that we've talked about. I'm quite sure Jeff and I can probably take up 3 hours talking about Anthony Weiner in New York. Going to talk about Eric Holder. And the Texas voting rights. We're going to talk about a little bit of all this. There's a lot going on, and people need to take personal responsibility. And when we talk about elder care, you have to be a participant in your care for your future, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Listen, guys, I love you. We'll see you guys on tomorrow.
And we'll see you in a month.
Be blessed.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling.